Chapter 4, I was talking to Brother Todd in the back, and they asked what my title of my message was, and I mentioned it, and he said, oh, a classic portion of Scripture, and it is, without a doubt. You've already heard other messages in this portion of Scripture, but obviously God always has something different or a different way that we can apply it to our lives. Obviously, it's one interpretation, but we can apply it differently in our lives, and I would like us to start reading from verse 1 in chapter 4. And let us stand. I'll read a few verses, and then I'll pray, and then you may be seated. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you could help me now as I preach your word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to only say the things that you would like me to say. Once again, thank you for this opportunity for us to be able to be here. Thank you for Faith Baptist Church and for the great, great blessing it has already been in our lives. And I pray that you continue using this ministry greatly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the verse that I want to emphasize, you can already imagine, is verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. So we have like an obligation, a must. We use the word must as an obligation and talk about a need. He must needs go through Samaria. But why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? Do you think it was because he couldn't go any other way? Obviously not. There were several other ways that he could have gone. He could have gone along the way of the coast, crossed the Jordan River. There are actually about three ways that he could have used without having to go through Samaria. And actually, the Jews avoided going that way with all costs. They hated going that direction. They were not friends of the Samaritans. To the contrary, they were enemies of the Samaritans. They despised the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. They couldn't prove, let's say, their genealogy, and they were actually kicked out of the temple. They couldn't worship in the temple, and they were like almost like a second category a kind of, let's say, worshipers, so they wouldn't actually not even be able to participate in the temple. And the Pharisees, when they even attacked Jesus, there was a time that they even used the word Samaritan as, let's say, a cuss word or to put him down. And they said in John 8:48, you don't have to go there, but I'll read the verse. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? So they sort of put the category of being a Samaritan to having a devil. You can get an idea that the Jews did not like the Samaritans. But it's interesting here that Jesus made a point to go through Samaria. And it says here, he must needs go through Samaria. Obviously, as I said, it wasn't because it was an easier way. He definitely could have gone another way. But he was on a mission. There was a woman there. He knew there was this woman there. And this woman needed salvation through Christ. How many other people, I was reflecting on this, the amount of people that Jesus passed going to Samaria. Without a doubt, he passed other people, but he had this mission that he wanted to talk to this woman. You know, in our lives, it's like that too. We all have a Samaria that God wants us to go through. A specific place, a specific person that God wants us to talk to. We are all missionaries. And we were talking a little bit, I was talking with Brother Andrew about this in the morning. We are all missionaries, but to different places. And I understand that there are two concepts of missionary. We think of a missionary of a person that leaves their culture and goes to another country, maybe learns a language or goes to another state and works with a different kind of people that they are not used to working. I understand that. But I was reading a definition In a dictionary, it says a missionary is a person on a mission. So we all have this mission that God has given for us to do. Corey Ten Boom said, you're either a missionary or a mission field. And that is true. Either you're working as a missionary or you are a mission field or you need to be reached. But once we are saved, we all have the Great Commission. We all have to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I told that to the kids this morning. I said, even you as a child, you are saved. If you are saved, you also have this Great Commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. So we need to do it because God has given us the Great Commission, and also because there are many people in need and without Christ. And if we are seeking to do God's will, God will guide us to places. He will guide us to people who are seeking Him. We had an interesting situation that happened. We had gone to Alabama, not with a banjo on my knee, brother. No, we had gone to Alabama, and we spent some time there. We were visiting a church, and we received a package with Ben's books. We had been waiting for some months to receive Ben's books. Finally, when his books arrived, they were only the answer sheets. You would think you'd be happy with that, but that was the first time I actually saw Ben crying that he couldn't do his schoolwork because he was already behind and he was so excited to finally be able to start his schooling. But when we checked the package, we realized that they had only sent the answer sheets. So because of that, we had to go back to Knoxville, which is where our home church is. They have a Christian school there, and they would order the books for us, and we could go pick it up. Well, because of that, because we went back to Knoxville, a couple weeks before that, we had been in Knoxville, and we were visiting, and we visited this lady. We had an opportunity to talk to her. She was very nice, but she was very busy at that moment, and she had to leave, and she had an appointment. And she really showed interest in the gospel and what we had to say, but she said, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave. And that sort of bothered us. We thought, boy, what an opportunity, you know, that she was so interested, but she had this appointment. But because of these books, because of this situation of Ben's books, we were back in Knoxville area again, and the Lord laid it on our heart to go and visit this woman again. Well, this time she was at home, and we talked to her, and she was very interested, and she got saved that evening. And it was just amazing to see even all of that. And actually, the Lord blessed us. Another situation that happened that we weren't even expecting, that somebody even gave us an offering that really helped us at that time because we went back there. And we thought, we never imagined that situation with Ben's books would have brought all these wonderful blessings. And then it made me think of this verse, and he must needs go through Samaria. Years ago, my father would tell a story of a time he went out visiting, and he and my mom, and they had gone through a street. Do you ever have a time, a day that you went visiting, and you just seemed like you had absolutely no fruit at all? About three people shut the door on your faces, and maybe somebody threw the track down, and you just feel a little bit frustrated and down. They had a day like this, and they had passed the street, and nobody showed interest. Then they remembered that they had skipped one house. So they were going to leave, and they, well, since we got this whole street, let's go back and just get that one house before we leave. So they went back, knocked at this door, and there was this woman there, and she said, listen, I'm already saved, but my husband, he's actually hiding from you. He's in the back there, but he's not saved. Would you talk to him? So they went back there, and my father talked to him and showed him from the Word of God, and he opened up, and they, you know, talked to him a little bit, and he let his guard down some, and he accepted Christ as his Savior that evening. And a year after that, they were on a bus route together, and he was actually serving on the bus route with my parents on the bus. And he said to them, today is my birthday. And they said, oh, your birthday, congratulations. He said, no, my second birth. He said, 1 year ago was when you came to my house and you led me to the Lord. So he must needs go through Samaria. And years ago, my parents were out visiting. My dad was out visiting. He met this man, and he gave him the gospel, invited him to church. That man went that Sunday and got saved. 2 years later, the husband prayed for the wife for many years. She was Catholic. 2 years later, she finally opened up and was willing to go with him to church and to hear a little bit more about it. And my mom led this lady to Christ. And these two people that I mentioned were Alini's parents, as you saw in the video, her dad and her mom that were led to Christ. And he must needs go through Samaria. So you see how God works in our lives. And who would have imagined that years later I would be married to their daughter, and we'd be going back now as second generation missionaries to Brazil and continue serving the Lord there. It's amazing what God does. And it's because one day my dad met this man on the street and he gave him the gospel. And because they surrendered to go to Brazil. he must needs go through Samaria. And it was the most unlikely place for Jesus to go, but not just the most unlikely place, to the most unlikely person, to a woman there at the well. And even the Samaritan woman was sort of shocked that Jesus came to talk to her. But he was willing to do God's will. And if we are open for God's will, he will guide us to the right places and to the right people, that they will come and accept Christ as their Savior. So very quickly, I want to mention a few things that I want to call to our attention that we should be aware as we go through our Samaria. So the first thing that I want to mention is we need to be aware of opportunities. Here we see Jesus, and it's interesting that Jesus had needs like any other man. We see him tired here. We see him thirsty. John shows here, through the inspiration, obviously, of the Holy Spirit, that he is 100% God, but also 100% man. Jesus became flesh, so everything that we go through, he went through. He knows exactly how we feel. He knows what we have to go through, and he already went through it, except with no sin. But as far as being a man, he knows exactly all of our sufferings and our needs and our problems. He knows what we've been through. He knows about all of our afflictions. But it's interesting here that he took advantage to use the situation for his purpose to speak to this woman. It was the sixth hour, which is around noon. Nobody would go in normal circumstances at noon to get water from a well. And again, Pastor, this is another unnamed person in the Bible. We don't know her name. And again, the Bible could have said the name of this woman, but the Holy Spirit chose not to. So we can fit other people in here. We can use it for other examples in our lives. Perhaps she went at this time to avoid other people because of her sinful life. It's interesting that we see here Jesus using an everyday situation, an encounter, as an opportunity to give out the gospel to this woman, to lead this person to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." Unfortunately, many times God gives us opportunities, but we are so numbed because we have despised many times so many opportunities that God has given us that we end up not even taking advantage anymore of any opportunity that God gives us to preach the gospel to every creature. I know there are some situations you can't preach the gospel. You're there working and you're at work time and you're there trying to, you have to have good sense. But how many times that God has given us opportunities and we have despised the opportunities that God has given us? So we need to be aware of opportunities that God gives us to tell others about Christ. Also, we need to be aware of the ones out of our comfort zone. And isn't that hard sometimes to be aware of those people out of our comfort zone? In most situations, no self-respecting Jew would have ever spoken to a Samaritan, much less a woman. So that was another level yet of somebody. They would have never talked to her. Even the woman was astonished in verse 9, and you can read the chapter. I won't read all the verses again, but you can read it later if you would like. In verse 9, she mentions this, like, "Why are you talking to me as a Jew, as a Samaritan? You're a Jew." But he intended to do his father's will, and he was interested in this woman's life and in this woman's soul. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I don't know what Calvinists do with this verse, but they try to scoot around it. But anyway, all come to repentance. It's God's will for all to come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to be lost, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But he wants all come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. I was thinking about the VBS. What a blessing it was. Wasn't it fun to serve the Lord in the VBS? I really enjoy the privilege of serving the Lord with you these days. Maybe on this earth we'll never have that opportunity to serve the Lord together like that. But we have to take advantage of these opportunities. We have only a certain amount of time. You can be 20, you can be 200. Nobody's 200 now. Maybe just back in the Bible times. But you can be 100, 110. But we all have an allotted time on this earth. If the Lord comes back here in 2 years, we'll all have the same 2 years to serve the Lord. And we had a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord this week. And we need to take advantage of these opportunities. It's not always easy to work with kids. You notice that? It can be tough to work with kids. Different ages, different challenges. And we all obviously have our gifts. Some have an easier time to deal with kids than others. But one thing that was an encouragement to me is to see how much joy and love you did it with. And that blessed my heart to see all of you working with gladness, working. And again, I said, sometimes it's not in our comfort zone to work with kids, but what a blessing to see you working this week. And like Jesus, we also need to be concerned for those around us, even those that we are not that comfortable giving the gospel to. These days, I was at a coffee shop. I'm not going to tell the name of the coffee shop. But I was at a coffee shop, and there was this man, and I was going to give him a tract. And right here, he had a horrible symbol of something, like a wicked symbol. And it actually scared me. I thought, he's not going to want to take my tract. But then the Lord brought to my heart this verse, who will have all men to be saved. He wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So there's nobody that should be out of our comfort zone that we should be afraid to invite them, to give them a tract, and to give them a gospel. And then what they do with it, that's, let's use the term, their problem. But at least we gave the truth to them, and we are interested in them. Because we are only doing it because we're interested in them. Did you ever stop and think about that? You're only doing it because you love them. Because obviously, as Pastor said this morning, it's much easier to quit. It's much easier to run. It's much easier not to give the track. It's much easier not to witness. It's much more comfortable, let's say, humanly speaking. But it's not the right thing to do as a Christian. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Look at Jonah. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, without a doubt. But the Bible says we should not be respecter of persons. Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God, and we shouldn't also be either. We shouldn't also have respect of persons. Third thing, we need to be aware of people's condition. There's a song that I really love. It's People Need the Lord. People are lost and heading to hell. This morning I was teaching a lesson about Naaman, and it was talking about he was a man of valor, and he was, you know, the leader of the army. But then it has that phrase, but he was a leper. And you know, there's so many people around us. They can be leaders, they can be doctors, they can be a mayor of the city, but if they're not saved, they're a sinner heading to hell. And we need to remember the people's conditions. And we would all be in that same condition if somebody hadn't told us. Did you ever stop and think about that? We would be in that same condition, maybe worse. I mean, no worse than you're being condemned, but I'm saying we could be just as condemned as they are if somebody hadn't told us and given us the gospel. So when Jesus was talking to this woman, he revealed her true moral condition in verse 18. And this caused the woman to change the subject. She was guilty. She felt guilty, obviously. So she's tried to scoot around it. And she didn't want to reflect on her sin. And and then she started talking about the place of worship. Oh, so you're a prophet. Oh, so what about this place of worship? So she wanted to change the subject. Many times in Brazil, people do that. We're witnessing, and you know, you start giving out the gospel. Oh, so your family's American. Oh, so you speak English. Or they'll even talk even about religion. Oh, okay, so your parents came to Brazil as missionaries. That's wonderful. Because they don't want to talk about their true condition and talk about their spiritual need. People prefer to talk about football, about politics, even about religion, but they don't want to reflect about the true state of their soul. This Samaritan woman, even like I said, mentioned about a place to worship, but the solution is not the place, or it's the person in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus showed that to this woman, that he was the Savior of the world. So we need to remember that even though people want to avoid the subject, we need to be aware of their condition as lost people heading to hell if they don't get saved. If we think about that, every person you see, try to think about that this week. Exercise that. Is this person going to heaven or hell? What about that person? What about that mailman that comes by my house? Is he going to heaven or hell? Do you know? Many times we don't even know the person's condition. And guess what? If he's not saved, the Bible said he's already condemned. So that's why we have to be aware of people's condition. Fourth thing, we need to be aware of our mission. The disciples here, they didn't really understand why Jesus passed through Samaria. And many times, you know, obviously we're harder on the disciples. We would probably do the same or even worse. But many times they just didn't get it. We'll see that the Samaritans will get it even better than they did, but here they didn't quite get it. And they were even surprised that they saw Jesus talking to her, but obviously no one there asked why he was talking to her, but they thought that was strange. Why is Jesus talking to that woman? Isn't it interesting that all of them went to buy food? How many people do you need to go buy food? All of them went. Jesus was there by himself. Nobody stayed back with Jesus there at the well. He was even thirsty and tired, and nobody thought about staying back and being with Jesus and talking with Jesus. Everybody went because they didn't want to be in Samaria, so better go to the city, and you know, they didn't have to stay there by the well. Maybe they were concerned about their reputation. Maybe their hate for Samaritans. They thought, you know, we'll go together and teach them a lesson. Maybe we'll get in a fist fight if anybody comes and messes with us. I don't know why they all left Jesus there by himself. But they did not like this situation, that we know. And they did not want to be in Samaria. When they told Jesus to eat something, Jesus replied, let's go to verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Before verse 32, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And obviously they at first thought that he was talking, did somebody bring him meat? Did somebody give him something we don't know about? They missed the point completely. But Jesus was saying that his food was doing the Father's will. And then he also, this is what I thought was interesting, in that his disciples were also part of this important mission. So he was including them. He said, look at verse 34, 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So he was saying, you are also a part of this mission. We need to be aware of this great mission that God has for us. We are all part of this great commission. Not just missionaries, not just pastors, every single one of us, we're part of this great commission. And here in this verse, he says, lift up your eyes. Jesus told him, he said, lift up your eyes. You know, they were so concerned about their reputation, about being in Samaria and what people would think of them, that they didn't even lift up their eyes. They weren't even concerned about the condition of that Samaritan woman or anybody else around there for that matter. But Jesus told them, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. See the need. See the opportunities. Be involved in winning souls. Be involved in missions. Be involved in speaking to others about Christ. Be involved in a VBS that's working to win children and their families to Christ. And other opportunities. I thank the Lord. That is not the only opportunity you're going to have this year to serve the Lord. Already next Saturday, you already have another opportunity to serve the Lord. And other times, I'm talking about corporately as a church. You have so many opportunities to serve the Lord. And if you're not really sure, boy, I wonder what I could do for the Lord. Just ask the pastor. He'll have a list of things that you can do to serve the Lord, I'm sure. And how many opportunities do we miss out because we are embarrassed or simply lack of interest? We couldn't care less, basically. But we must ask for boldness to witness more for the Lord. As a song that we sang, we need to love as Christ loved. That's a pretty strong statement, but we should do that. We should love our enemies, the Bible says. We shouldn't want anybody to perish also. But we need to love others as Christ loved others. Not all will be saved. Few might seem interested at first, but we must never give up. God will bear us fruit and lead us to the sincere sinner. And because of the time, I'm not going into all the story, but we had a wonderful blessing a few months ago. Alini's cousin that we had been praying for 16 years, they called us and he wanted to let us know that he had gotten saved. We had been praying for him. I had the opportunity to talk to him about 3 times very clearly, but he just wasn't interested and wasn't ready. But they had a Bible class. They had a Bible study at his home. And then he even asked her aunt, he said, for how long are you going to have this Bible study? And she said, until you get saved. And then he didn't answer. But then in the last day, they were studying the book of John. In the last day, the session was over. They were having some time with eating and drinking some coffee, some Brazilian coffee. And he came and he was crying. He said, I just can't take it anymore. I want to accept Christ as my Savior. And they were going to explain it to him. He said, you don't even have to explain it. I know what I have to do. I've just been fighting it, but I know what I have to do. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. And he changed completely. He's serving the Lord now. Now he was, a few months later, I saw a picture of him at a Bible study, now helping and being a part of the Bible study to win others to Christ. And he must needs go through Samaria. We must be aware of our opportunities, beyond our comfort zone, people's condition, our mission, and the last thing to finish, we need to be aware of our influence. You know, when we surrender to do God's will, it's a ripple effect. It doesn't just stop with us. No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. When you decide something or decide not to do something, did you know that you influence others around you? When you are a person that doesn't want to serve the Lord, I'll tell you, it'll be contagious. Either you're serving or your lack thereof will be contagious. So we need to remember that our decisions in our lives have also ripple effect that touch other people's lives as well. Many Samaritans believed because of the testimony of this Samaritan woman. In verse 39, it says, "And many of the Samaritans and of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me of that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves.'" And get this, look at how the Samaritans got it. "And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." They got it, didn't they? That this was the Christ, the Savior of the world. But what I thought was amazing is that when we win someone to Christ, the fruit just doesn't just stop with that person. Like I said, there's a ripple effect. Many other people will many times come to accept Christ too. Aline's parents would have Bible clubs in their home, and they won dozens of, maybe hundreds of people to Christ. Her mom is the most avid soul winner. Now, if she has to talk with 3 people publicly, she gets so scared. Now, she'll talk to anyone one-on-one. And she's a real blessing in my life, her mom. And she'll talk to people. And she was Catholic, and she knows very much all the Catholic dogmas and everything. So it's really wonderful that she can talk to people and explain to them how she was able to get out of that false religion and show what the Bible truly says. And she has been greatly used of the Lord. But just think, you've already heard the story of a man, this pastor. He was teaching for, I think, a year, and he only had one person saved, and he was so frustrated that, you know, it just seemed like he had no fruit. Well, this one boy that was saved in his ministry was Robert Moffat, who opened Africa to Christ. So we never imagine the people, the ripple effect that we have when we are serving the Lord. And I could tell you other stories, but I'm not because of the time. But my family and I now, continuing the Lord's work as second and now third generation missionaries, can go all the way back to when one day at a service like this, my parents went forward and surrendered their lives to Christ and surrendered to missions. And today there's still ripple effects. My dad is already home with the Lord. He's already in heaven. But his work continues on through us and through others that because he was faithful in doing what God wanted him to do. So when we surrender to do God's will in our lives, we continue having an influence on others, touching other people's lives, even for generations. What about you? What is the Samaria that God has for you? Maybe it's Brazil. God has a Samaria for all of us to go through. I was talking again to Brother Andrew. We were talking about different things this morning. And, you know, God has a specific plan, a specific purpose for each and every one of our lives. And when we want to know his will, he is more than happy to show us his will. Even more than we want his will, he wants to show us his will. Unfortunately, that question, young people don't ask as much anymore. How do I know God's will for my life? It was a question that people used to ask, but they don't ask that much anymore. Like I said, maybe you could say to me, why Brazil? Why not another country? There are many cities in the USA that need churches and other parts of the world that need Christ. True, but Brazil is a Samaria that God wants us to go through. There are many people lost there. There's a Samaritan woman there waiting for us to get back, and one day the Lord will use us with the Lord's help to lead that person to Christ and so many others. There is a place that God has for you to be, someone that God has placed in your life. There are a lot of Samaritans, a lot of places that you'll go through that I'll never go through. I'll never even meet that person in my life, but that you have that opportunity to meet. Maybe God is calling you to the mission field. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Brazil is huge, 215 million people. We're the size of France, Germany, and the UK combined in population. But unfortunately, back when my parents went, there were about 100 million. Today, they're about 215 million, so it doubled in population. So technically, we should have doubled the missionaries, but we don't. But we need more laborers. We need more pastors. We need more people surrendering. I could take you to Brazil. I mean, if you'd ever come and visit us in Brazil, we could show you city after city. See that city there? We don't know of any good church that preaches a clear gives a presentation of the gospel. See that city? No good church. See that city? No good church. It's just all over. But we all have this commission to go. And if God has not called you to Brazil, God has called you somewhere, either here or to another city. But he wants all of us to go through a Samaria that he has for us. And let's remember, like he told the disciples, let's lift up our eyes. Let's look at the fields. Let's say, here am I, Lord, send me, use me, Lord. Where is the Samaria that God has for you to go through? Let's be aware of the mission that God has for us around the corner and around the world. Obviously, if you are not saved, Jesus would have come just for that Samaritan woman. He would have gone through Samaria. If nobody else had gotten saved, he would have gone just for that Samaritan woman. And he would have done the same for you and me. Actually, he did it. In 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus came and died on the cross for you. If you haven't accepted him, if you haven't accepted this living water yet, please do it today. Don't leave church without you being absolutely sure you're going to heaven. And if you are saved, let's lift up our eyes and let's serve the Lord. Let's look for a Samaria that God wants us to go through. Amen. Pastor, thank you.